Within the diverse and metropolitan populace of the Yang Tao Empire, there exist numerous client species who have pledged their existence to the furtherment of not only the Tao, but also of the greater good. This is a core philosophical teaching which has bound together the various worlds, septs, and alien races behind a unified banner of one cohesive set of principles intended to foster an innate sense of cooperation for all who follow it. One of its foundational doctrines is that those within the empire should always attempt to bring any newly discovered sentient species under their fold. And it is from this that we will discuss one of the more striking and unique of aliens which has agreed to this proposition. Today, we shall investigate the Kroot, a rather uniquely gifted Xeno species who have sworn themselves to cooperating with and defending the Tao Empire since the 38th millennium. This incredibly dynamic race is easily identifiable upon a battlefield. However, it is best if we learn of some of their more striking details, for if we are to combat the Xenos, then we must understand them on a fundamental level. Firstly, we will discuss their anatomical and physiological features before investigating their peculiar ability to selectively take on the genetic traits of their consumed foes, all of which is overseen by the tribal leaders known as the Shapers. Finally, we shall discuss some of the genetic aberrations of the Kroot caused by the unrestricted consumption of maladaptive species, which oftentimes has a rather disastrous effect on their form. The Kroot, termed as Crutis aviana by imperial scholars, is a species of humanoid Xenos, most commonly found in the eastern fringes of the galaxy, where they reside upon feral worlds controlled by their tribal leaders. Whilst they do rule over these planets themselves, they will contribute some of the naturally occurring resources, as well as forces from their own tribes towards the military auxiliary branches of the Tau armies. There will exist some sparse contingents of Tau caste members found within small settlements and outposts on these worlds. But aside from them, it is almost entirely inhabited by the Kroot themselves, along with the diverse species of wildlife which they co-inhabit the planets with. The Kroot are thought to have evolved from an ancestral avian species found upon their home world of Pek, and to this day they still exhibit some traits of their distant genetic cousins. We will soon discuss some of these features in more depth, but the primary features which they seem to have retained from their avian ancestors would be their easily recognizable beaks and somewhat light bone structure. The most commonly encountered Kroot have been colloquially referred to as Kroot carnivores, due to their habit of consuming the foes which they kill in battle. And although there are several subspecies which we will soon discuss, I shall focus on the carnivores during this sermon. They stand taller than most humans, with their slightly hunched stance still bringing them to around 7 feet tall. It can be rather imposing to stand next to one of these creatures, since their feral and rather piercing gaze can often shake the morale of those from the smaller species of the galaxy. Their skin is rough and rather thick, being covered in hundreds of small barbed spines, which likely act as some form of defensive adaptation against creatures who would surely have aimed to hunt the Kroot themselves. As they age, their skin grows increasingly more tough and leathery, with the oldest of Kroot displaying heavily pitted and gnarled hides. Aside from protecting them from the harsh conditions of their own worlds, it has also proven useful in battle, where only the sharpest of blades, or precisely aimed of strikes, will be able to puncture their leathery hide. Their skin pigmentation varies from group to group, mainly being influenced by their diets, and it can take on a myriad of colored patterns, ranging from deep, earthy browns to striking, vibrant yellows and greens. As a part of their tribal culture, The Kroot will decorate themselves with rudimentary tattoos, scarified etches, and war paints across their entire bodies, all of which display their familial allegiances, as well as to signify their role within the tribe. In addition to this, the Kroot, who choose to wear pieces of clothing, will often adorn themselves with naturally sourced totems and trophies, which may take the form of bird feathers or bones from the great creatures found upon their worlds. Upon first appearance, the Kroot may seem deceptively weak, as their tall and gangly nature may remind some humans of atrophied individuals who reside within low-gravity conditions. Furthermore, imperial autopsies have revealed that their bones are still somewhat avian in nature, as they are found to be rather small, with parts of their skeleton still being made up of hollow bones, clearly evident of their skybound ancestors. Despite this, presuming them to be inept in battle would be an incredibly foolish mistake to make. Beneath their tough skin, the Kroot have incredibly dense and wiry musculature, making them far stronger than all but the most highly trained and augmented of humans. Their tendons are also impressively resilient and powerful, which supports this explosive musculature in allowing them to move and strike with rapid and destructive force. With their long legs, they bound and traverse their planets with a slightly hopping sprint. They appear to be incredibly dexterous in their movement, with their large tetradactyl feet possessing four widely spread toes, which they have been observed to use for gripping onto trees as they climb high into the canopies. Some Kroot settlements have been built within the towering jungles of their worlds, and they will often leap and spring from tree to tree in order to reach their tribal homes. As such, it would do one no good to think that they could somehow hide out or survive upon a Kroot world, since no matter where they found purchase, the nimble Xenos would quickly be able to root them out and potentially devour them. As I previously stated, several traits have been well conserved from their ancestral avian days. In their evolutionary past, their descendants possessed small beaks used for crushing open small fruits and seeds. However, over countless generations, they have evolved and transformed into becoming incredibly powerful tools which can crack open even the strongest of bones found within the large animals of their worlds. Though the preferred diet of the carnivores would consist of the dense, fleshy meat and organs of an animal, they too have a taste for the rich, buttery marrow found within the hard bones of their victims. They have also retained long, dense quills which protrude out from the backs of their heads. After several autopsies, Imperial agents now suspect that this crown could be some form of a sensory organ to the Kroot. Each quill contains several small bundles of sensory ganglia which connect to their frontal lobe, providing them with vital stimuli regarding their surrounding environment. This theory is supported by viewing their jungle homeworld of Pek, which is covered by an incredibly thick layer of foliage, and so possessing these long quills would enable them to better interpret their surroundings almost in a similar way as to how a feline can better understand its environment through sensations received through their whiskers. Within their skulls, they have several distinct olfactory organs held within a markedly enlarged cavity, presumably granting them an excellent sense of smell. Given their carnivorous nature, these enhanced senses would enable them to effectively detect and hunt down their prey within the dense jungle environments, which may prove to be somewhat of a sensory overload to species who cannot accurately distinguish the myriad of different smells and stimuli. Their milky white eyes are devoid of pupils, but it is suspected that they can perceive light in the near infrared spectrum. This would enable them to detect creatures based on their emitted temperatures, further enhancing their hunting capabilities within the jungle. The Kroot secrete a rather pungent, oily sweat, which provides a multitude of benefits to them. Whilst its specific properties will vary depending on the Kroot's diet, it typically provides some degree of heat resistance and acts as both a potent antibiotic and antiparasitic to protect their skin. This sweat also contains several pheromones, which they will utilize to signify their territories or to leave as complex communicative markings to other nearby Kroot. It has never been proven, but we suspect that they can also leave empathic pheromones which subtly relax and calm other species, resulting in their prey becoming more lax or comfortable, but undeniably easier to hunt. In addition to their pheromone-based communication methods, they verbally speak with each other in a complex mixture of clicks, growls, and whistles. That being said, after consuming certain species, they have been observed to quickly pick up some of the language cues and subtle mannerisms of their prey. This, combined with their propensity to quickly mimic other creatures, allows them to learn new languages at a surprisingly rapid rate. And it is not unheard of to encounter a Kroot who can speak in low or even high Gothic. As such, while this may be seen as somewhat heretical or xenophilic to some of you, some of the more extreme of inquisitors or rogue traders have been known to keep a Kroot carnivore within their retinue, since, despite their alien nature, they do provide a great aid in the art of tracking and of hunting. Now, I have alluded to the Kroot taking on different physiological features depending on their diets, and this is due to their rather unique and species-defining trait, known as shaping. After devouring the flesh of a fallen creature, they can selectively absorb genetic features of that species, integrating it within their own genome, allowing them to rapidly express those characteristics within themselves. For example, if a Kroot was to repeatedly consume orc flesh, then they would begin to grow more muscular, and their skin would take on a greenish tint. One of the lesser known examples of abilities gained from shaping would be from a very select group who managed to consume the flesh of the migratory reptilians known as crotalids. These creatures would move from world to world, teleporting themselves through the warp to new lush planets, all in the search of new prey. However, one group eventually found themselves on Peck, where they were hunted down by the members of the Misthound kindred. Though only a small group of the Kroot were able to gain this warp-traversing ability from their fallen foes, it is still rather amazing to see the extent of genetic abilities which they can procure from the simple act of consumption. This shaping ability is innate to all Kroot. However, they do not all possess the gift of being able to recognize which traits would be most advantageous to them and of which traits should be avoided. This skill is almost only observed in the elders of the Kroot tribes, and they are known as the Shapers. Most Kroot are rather animalistic and single-minded when it comes to the art of survival, but for these learned elders, they have been shown to understand the benefits of patience and have risen to a position within their tribe where all would respect their directives and orders. As they age, their wisdom and understanding of not only the galaxy, but also of their own unique biology becomes more and more comprehensive, until they stand in a position where they can act as somewhat of a shamanic leader to their tribal kindred. Through decades of experience, the Shapers have developed an insightful knowledge in analyzing a creature's DNA to determine whether or not it would provide any benefit to their kin. If they were to consume a newly encountered life form and discovered that it would somehow corrupt or taint their genome, then the Shapers will forbid their tribe from ever feasting upon their flesh. In this sense, we can view the Shapers as somewhat of a guardian to the Kroot, not only in that they will lead their kindred through challenging situations, but also in that they will safeguard their very genetic material. Each kindred will be led by their own Shaper, who will determine the best path for their kin to take. And this will greatly differ depending on their surrounding environments. For this reason, no two kindreds will ever be the same, as their genetic makeup will always depend on the local flora and fauna, resulting in some tribes displaying incredibly vibrant and unique physiological characteristics. For example, on the ice world of Yunchen, the Shapers direct their tribes to consume the flesh of the native ice bears, resulting in these Kroot being coated with thick, shaggy white fur. Conversely, the Kroot upon the oceanic world of Hydrix will hunt and feast upon the aquatic life, providing them with webbed limbs, which vastly improve their swimming capabilities. This has resulted in an incredibly diverse species, with Kroot from around the galaxy displaying vastly different appearances, which have made them extremely well adapted to their habitats. Some may have small wings, allowing them to glide through the air, whilst others will be far more muscular and dense, making them excellent shock troops for large engagements. The Shapers have universally decreed that there are thus far only three species which the Kroot are utterly forbidden from ever consuming. Firstly, they shall never feast upon Tau flesh. The Kroot are utterly indebted to the Tau for saving their homeworld from an orc invasion, and they have become so ingrained within each other's societies that it would be a most heinous crime to ever turn upon their saviors. Secondly, they are to avoid any humans who have succumbed to the worship of chaos. Kroot, who have been seen to feast upon the followers of the ruinous powers, have been observed to develop incredibly unstable and violent mutations, which are in no way advantageous to their species. It has even been observed, most notably in the calamitous Cronus campaign, that any Kroot who were seen to feast upon the flesh of Chaos Space Marines were hunted down and exterminated by their kin, all to prevent any trace of chaotic taint from corrupting their genome. The final forbidden fruit would be the flesh of the Tyranids. The Shapers are utterly disgusted by these creatures, and the ever-changing genome of these bioforms produces an innate feeling of repulsion to them. They cannot reliably or safely incorporate Tyranid traits within themselves, even if they may seem beneficial, and as such, the resulting genetic instabilities has led them to declare their flesh as being utterly inedible to their kin. Some Kroot have attempted to devour the fallen constructs of the Necrons, and their powerful beaks are more than strong enough to break down their shattered necrodermis frames. This, however, has also proven itself to be a most tainted delicacy. Upon the world of Karoch, any Kroot who had feasted upon Necron remains were afflicted by a terrible nanoscarab plague in which tiny scarabs burst out of their bodies, utterly devastating the tribal forces and leading to the unnecessary deaths of untold Kroot warriors. That being said, the Kroot are free to indulge themselves with any other species which has been declared as safe to consume. They almost universally have an innate urge to feed upon fallen foes, likely as a vestige of their ancestral, animalistic days. So the Shapers will allow them to feed to their heart's content once a battle has been won. If appropriately directed by the Shapers, the Kroot will maintain a healthy, diverse genome, enabling them to maintain their intellect and physical strength. However, if left to their own devices, they may consume too much of the same creature or too much of a prey animal which corrupts their genome, leading to stunted subspecies who are seen as nothing but genetic dead ends. The first of these would be the Kroot hounds. They have feasted upon the feral, wild, canine-like creatures found within the jungles of Peck, and as such, have devolved into being mindless, quadrupeds, who are kept in packs by the shapers and are only unleashed during a large hunt or during times of war. They are incredibly ferocious, and they have been known to turn upon members of their tribe if they are poorly disciplined or if their handlers simply let their guard down around them. The Krutoks are similarly seen as genetic dead ends to the Krut. They have developed into being huge beasts of war, standing as something similar to a monstrous ape, where they will pound enemies into nothing but pulp and shattered bones with their gigantic, brutish forelimbs. The Krut will often mount large weapons upon their backs and will ride them into battle, making them into a form of a mobile weapons platform. Thanks to their unusually thick and dense hides, the Krut will rarely find a need to mount armor upon a Krutox, since their skin is more than tough enough to withstand small arms fire. Narloks are similarly Krut, who have devolved into being gigantic, terrifying beasts. They stand as creatures similar to an ancient dinosaur, with their massive jaws being able to crush through the strongest of Imperial tanks, and their sheer bulk can crash through defensive lines to utterly demolish any enemy troops which may oppose the Krut. That being said, they seem to be rather maladapted to their environmental niche upon Pek. Their immense size makes them inept at traversing the thick jungles, whilst their small eyes have cursed them with fairly poor sight. And yet, they still have their own unique hunting tactics which have served them well. Rather than striking from an ambush, Narloks are persistence hunters, and they will simply chase after their prey for hours until the poor creature finally falls, exhausted, where the Narlok will fall upon it for a tremendous feast. Some scholars have also suggested that, given the physiology of these beasts, that they may be obligate scavengers who only feed upon the fallen remains of other animals. However, this has never been entirely confirmed, since it would be near impossible for an Imperial agent to gain access to a Krut world purely to study their megafauna. Whilst these subspecies are utilized by the Krut, there are some which are seen as pure abominations, and they are hunted to extinction wherever possible. Deep within the jungles of Pek, some Krut have devolved into a state of pure madness, where they can serve no purpose to the kindreds, and these monstrous creatures must be exterminated at any cost. Oftentimes, the foreboding depths of the jungles in which they reside is seen as being cursed, and so only the bravest or most foolhardy of Krut will delve into the oppressive darkness to end the suffering of their corrupted kin. This brings us to the end of our exploration into the Krut. I will quickly mention that it is not only their bodies which will change upon feasting, for their minds will also be altered by their prey. If a Krut consumes the flesh of a foul Drukhari, then they have been observed to become more cruel and more sadistic towards their enemies, often leading to darker methods of hunting down more potential victims to feed upon. Some scant sources have also suggested that if a Krut diet includes a healthy dose of Psyker flesh, then they will become more in tune with the wild tides of the warp, allowing them to better navigate their great ships through the Immaterium. Nevertheless, the Krut are seen as incredibly valuable allies to the Tau, and even if they are slightly disturbed by their propensity and desire to devour their fallen foes, they still accept and embrace their differences, bringing them into the great fold of the greater good.